Okay. For our lesson today, turn to the book of James in chapter 1 for our starting verse. We're not going to be studying James chapter 1, but we're going to get our subject for today's lesson out of there. James chapter 1, and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Back there in verse 5, at the beginning of the verse, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this Sunday school lesson this morning. Help us as we come together to study your word to be able to understand it better. And not only to understand it better, but to have the ability to make application in our lives. Help us, Lord, that we'd be different because of what we read in this book. Help us, Lord, that we'd be more like you. And I pray that you would bless this study on wisdom and help us to obtain it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you can't help but wonder sometimes what people are thinking. You look at the news and you begin to see the kinds of things people do and the kind of things people get involved in, and you wonder sometimes, is there any wisdom in this world? You know, does anybody have any wisdom? You get people that start crying and complaining about circumstances that take over their lives, and you get to looking a little bit deeper, and you find out a lot of times those circumstances are upon them because of the fact that they just don't have any wisdom. Sometimes in this world there are people that are innocent victims of circumstances and just things happening and things beyond their control. But I'm going to tell you something, a lot of our heartache, a lot of our problems come because of lack of wisdom. And it's an amazing thing here. The world's perception of wisdom is an interesting perception. There's an old cliche, happens a lot, you know, and it's portrayed a lot, and that's of, you know, someone making this great pilgrimage up the side of a mountain to get to the top of the mountain, and they get to the top of the mountain, and there's this old hermit with a long beard and a robe sitting in front of a cave, you know, no possessions, no nothing, and he supposedly has the wisdom of the world. You know, I remember when the Beatles were real popular, you know, the Beatles went to India to look up this Maharishi, you know, and in order to find wisdom, they made this great pilgrimage to this supposedly wise man in order to find wisdom. And sadly, they didn't find any wisdom with this guy. And yet, here's an invitation here from God. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And not only that, but he'll give to all men liberally, and he won't even ridicule you for asking him for wisdom. You know, some people, you ask them advice. And so the first thing they want to do when you ask their advice is they want to start ridiculing you and cutting you down over the decisions you've made. And they spend 30 minutes or 45 minutes knocking you down, you know, and they still haven't given you any wisdom. They just want to take their shots at you. And yet there's some people, you know, you go and ask them for advice and they're free to give their advice. And sometimes it's really good advice. God is one who is willing to give advice if you're willing to listen. He's willing to teach you some things if you're willing to learn. And I just think that's a tremendous invitation. That's something that we ought to put in our mind this week, and we ought to be thinking about all this week. You know, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know, God doesn't ridicule you by asking him, Lord, what should I do? You know, that's actually a pretty good question. Lord, what should I do? And then seek to find God's mind on the matter. So what I want to do is, I don't necessarily have a detailed outlined message or anything. I just made a list of some things, because wisdom, it brings some good things. It really does. And, uh, And one of the most profitable things I think I ever did when I was younger, I did this before I got married, is I started looking in the book of Proverbs, and I started looking for verses on wisdom and understanding. And I started looking at the kinds of things that are associated with wisdom, that are associated with wise men. And I tell you something, I learned an awful lot. And I wish that I could say that everything that I learned I applied, but I didn't. I still ended up making mistakes. I still ended up doing things that wisdom would dictate you shouldn't do. But the things that I did apply, the things that I did put into my life, I'm telling you something, I received tremendous benefit. And I can say without doubt, without shame, without ridicule, that God knows what He's talking about. You can downgrade the Bible if you want to. You know, you can laugh at the principles in the Word of God. You can call them archaic or medieval if you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. The principles in this book right here are wise. They are wisdom. And so the more that we're in this book and the more that we seek to apply this book to ourselves, the wiser we're going to be. And believe me, it's God's will for us to be wise. God doesn't want us to... It's one thing to be stupid. It's another thing to stay stupid once you have an opportunity to learn. You know, and some of us just don't want to learn. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But one thing I noticed, and we're going to be flipping over... We're going to be looking at a lot of verses in our study this morning. Go ahead and go to Proverbs in chapter... Chapter 22, first of all, and we're going to start with a verse there. The first thought on my list is one thing that wisdom brings when you begin to learn it, and you begin to learn God's wisdom, is it makes you cautious. And I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about it because in the Bible, a lot of times, foolishness is associated with hastiness. You know, with being hasty to do things, with being hasty with the things that you say. A lot of times a fool is portrayed by someone who doesn't think before he says, and he just blurts out whatever's on his mind. And when you're like that, when you have that type of personality, then you have natural conflict in your friendships. You've got natural conflict in your marriage relationship, whether it's a husband or a wife. You know, someone who just simply blurts stuff out. And sometimes under the guise of being, well, I just want to be truthful. I want to be honest. Well, you know, truthfulness and honesty are a very good trait. But then there's also something known as discretion, you know. And so there's sometimes when someone who withholds things from being said is actually counted a lot wiser. But look at Proverbs in chapter 22, because I want to talk about caution. And I'm going to talk about speech in a little bit later. But I want to talk about caution for a minute. What verse did I give you? Oh, I didn't give you none. That's why I didn't recognize. Proverbs in chapter 22 and verse 3. I was looking at verse 30. That's why I was messed up. Look at this verse. Real good verse. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple press on and they're punished. This carries the idea of being cautious with things that are in front of you. And I'm not talking about being, some people are overly cautious, and some people are afraid of every shadow that comes around, and some people aren't willing to take any risks at all. I'm not talking about not taking risks. I'm not talking about, you know, making sure everything's nailed down before you do something. But there are some things that we ought to be very, very cautious about. We ought to have a cautious mindset, especially when it comes to evil. I know some Christians, they have no discretion over what goes into their mind, you know, what they read, what they watch, what they're engaged in. But I'm telling you something, we ought to have a little bit of caution. I remember there was a bad flood, I guess, in the late 90s. And I remember we were over at the in-law's house and we were watching the news coverage of the flood on TV. And it was right over here on the northwest side. They had a high water rescue going on right at the moment. And an elderly man and his wife, it was a real tragic situation because they had gotten swept away in the water and they were pinned up against the side of a bridge in their car. And so the high water rescue people were there and they were trying to, to get him out, doing their best. And so there were police cars there. There was an ambulance there on standby. There was a ladder truck there. There was also a TV reporter there with the big boom and the camera and everything. And so she was standing out there and she was reporting on this incident. And on live TV, while she's reporting on this incident, this little car drives right past her and right down into the water. And the water's going up over the hood, you know, in a big wave, you know, and she stalls her vehicle, and she just drives around all of this action going on and then tries to go through the water. And the TV reporter goes right up to her. She's getting out of the car, you know, and wading through the water. "Ma'am, what were you thinking? Did you see anything? Did you do anything?" And it was just really incredible because here was this woman that ignored every warning sign in the book and just drove right on down into the water. And she could have passed away. I think that they charged her a lot of money for what she did, by the way. I think she got a pretty hefty fine. That's a perfect illustration of somebody who's not prudent. You know, just go bullheaded right in through things. You know what wisdom dictates? Wisdom dictates you ought to take a little precaution. You ought to use a little bit of caution in what you're doing. You know what the fool does? The fool goes down a dark alley and whistles with his hands in his pockets and doesn't even care if there's somebody hiding behind a dumpster or something else going on. Just happy-go-lucky as if nothing's going to happen. Let me tell you something. There's some bad things in this world. There's evil in this world. And just physical security dictates that we ought to be careful. You know, you got to be careful where you go. You got to be careful where you park. You got to be careful what streets you drive down. You know, there's some streets wisdom dictates go around. You know, some neighborhoods don't go through. Go around those neighborhoods. Well, you know, the same thing with spiritual things. How is it that we feel like we're invincible and we can get involved with anything that we get involved in? What about some wisdom? You know what wisdom dictates? Wisdom dictates that thing right there is evil. So I'm gonna hide myself. I'm going to protect myself from that particular thing. Look at Proverbs in chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1, 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fools despise wisdom and instruction. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be as an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. The advice, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path." You know, I'm amazed at the kind of associations some Christians are going to make, and some Christians do make. You know, I'm amazed at how many young Christians end up getting into romantic relationships with people that either aren't saved or aren't strong in the Lord. You know what that is to me? That's foolishness. That's just plain foolishness, just playing with fire. You know, I get, every now and then, people ask me for advice on different people, and you know what I tell them? I tell them this all the time. If a person, whether a man or a woman, is not now already serving the Lord of their own accord, you shouldn't have anything to do with them as far as a romantic relationship's concerned. You got no business dating somebody who's not serious about the Lord. You don't want somebody who's going to get serious about the Lord because they're trying to get you and trying to press you. You want somebody who's serious about the Lord already. But you know something? You ought to be cautious when you get into relationships with other people. You ought to be cautious because it's going to cost you if you don't. Cautiousness when you choose your friends. You know, I see some parents at my son's school and they really don't have a clue what their children are doing. Not only do they not have a clue, it doesn't seem like they even really care. And they look at us like we're overbearing, like we're protective hens. And the truth is that as our kids get older, we try and be less and less protective, and we try to give more and more freedoms. But I'm going to tell you something. As a parent, I want to know who my kids are hanging around. You know what I tell my kids? I say, you see that kid right there? You stay away from him. You don't have anything to do with him. You don't be his friend. Don't hang out with him. You know, don't talk to him. Don't get into fights with him. Don't provoke him. Don't do anything. Just stay on the other side of the classroom from him and just leave him alone, because he's trouble. And if you get in with him, you're going to get into trouble too. And it's wisdom. You know, wisdom dictates. You know what happens is we become a lot like the people that we hang around. We do. We get a lot like them. And it's in each one of our personalities. I don't care how independent you are or how strong you think you are. We all have a desire to conform. You know, I was reminded of that one time. Really, it was really kind of funny. Jeff Royal has like a equipment rental shop, and there's a lot of guys that are in the construction industry and a lot of ranchers and things like that to go to his shop to rent equipment and stuff. And I was there one day, and there was all these guys around, you know, and they're all in their, you know, ranch hand pickup trucks and their cowboy boots and everything, and they're all sitting around talking. And there's just a certain way that these guys talk, you know. They talk like this and a little bit slower, and they talk, you know, and they got all these little figures of speeches. And you know what I was finding myself doing? And the only reason I knew I was doing it was because I had a friend with me that watched me do it. And he says, Brian, you started talking like them. And it was an amazing thing. You know, I left my own habits of speech, and I dropped off some words that I normally use, and I picked up a few words, and I started talking like them. You know, it kind of scared me, actually. It was pretty scary when I thought about it. But it was a reminder. Hey, you know, you are very much influenced by the people that you're around. You are very much influenced by them. So you know what I'd say? I'd say wisdom dictates cautiousness. Cautiousness in what you get involved in. Cautiousness in the kinds of people that you decide to get involved in. Be cautious. You know, I'm not saying be scared, but you ought to be cautious. Look at Proverbs in chapter 19. Don't be a fool and think that there's good in everything, because there's not. Proverbs in 19, in verse 2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteneth, that's a tongue twister, he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. In other words, someone who is rash, someone who just goes out. And I know the Apostle Peter kind of had this as a natural part of his flesh. He was just naturally impulsive, you know. He just naturally started diving in and doing things. But I'm going to tell you something. You can get, if you are impulsive, I'm going to say you better just, why don't you get a good habit if you are impulsive about spending, you know, just leave the credit cards and the wallet at home. Don't get anything where you can spend any money when you go out. You know, if you must absolutely go to Walmart, go to an ATM machine, get $5, if you can get only $5, I think you got to get minimum 20. But get 20 bucks out of an ATM machine, put it in your pocket, and then go put everything else at home, and then go to Walmart. You know, I'm telling you, some people are all excited, and there is a certain high, I know, with some people. You know, they get this certain adrenaline rush when it comes to obtaining things. And you just start spending money, and you're impulsive, and you start getting things. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to end up being way in debt, way over your head, and then you're going to be in debt and in bondage to all these different credit cards just because you hasteneth with your feet. You know what wisdom dictates? Wisdom dictates that you slow down a little bit with your actions. Why is it that in advertising, people always seem to get this urgency in their message? You know, not only do you need these, but you need them now. And why is it that you need them now? Because the sale only goes till midnight. You know, come on, are they going to lose tons of money? No, they do these numbers 6 a.m. to midnight. And you actually see people that are at the doors of the store at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, just waiting for those doors to open. You know, man, I got to have that. Why? Because there's a sale. Well, do you need it? No, but there's a sale. I got to have it. Yeah, that's why we get into a lot of problems. People take jobs that take them away from serving the Lord. And the reason why is because they don't have wisdom. They're going too fast. They're making their decisions without thinking. I don't know, you make your decision based on lust or based on desire or based on passion. You know, there's nothing wrong with slowing down a little bit and considering what's ahead of you and being a little cautious. Man, this looks like a good job, but is it going to take me away from serving the Lord? And if it is, I don't want it. I remember there was a case when I was wanting to get off the road, and I was on the road as a trucker, and I really didn't like all the nights away and everything. I was married now. And so I went and I applied for a job with a truck driving academy, and it was going to be a really good job, and everything was working out, and I was going through the process of getting all the certifications, everything that I needed. And when I finally got hired, they went in and I was getting ready to start. I was getting ready to give my 2 weeks' notice to the other company. And the woman who was the HR director, she said, well, you know, here's going to be your basic schedule. And it included Sundays. And they had me on every Sunday morning. And I was like, wait a minute now. I already told you that I'm a preacher and that you told me that I was going to have Sundays off. I'll work for you nights. I'll work weekends. You know, I'll work holidays. I'll work all kinds of stuff. But I'm not going to work on Sundays because I'm going to be in church. And she says, well, I'm sorry. She said, you're not going to have a Sunday off for a long time. And I'm like, good grief, you know. I was really disappointed. And I ended up leaving that job, and I lost some income because of it. And then they found out that I was looking for a job, so my other company let me go. And then I was really without a job. But, you know, I came out so far ahead. Wisdom dictates that you think ahead a little bit, analyze the situation, and find out, is something going to take me away from serving the Lord? Is something going to steal my heart? You look at Solomon, and Solomon got involved with all those different women, and he started accommodating them for their different gods that they had. And one thing God was concerned about, when you look at the scriptures and you read, you find out that in his last days, when he was old, those things, they stole his heart. And you know, there's some things out there in the world that'll steal your heart away from the Lord. Wisdom will dictate that you look a little bit. Anyway, what I'm saying is you ought to be cautious. There's kind of a thing that goes around, and Lindell and I kind of developed it, and he calls himself the accelerator, and I call myself the brake, you know, because he's always, come on, let's do this. And I'm, wait a minute, let me think about it. And there's kind of a misnomer there, because you might think that in us describing that Lindell's real brash and real, you know, just go out and get it done without really thinking. But really, when you take a look, I know the man very well. He's very analytical in his thinking, and he doesn't just fly off the handle and go hog wild and do things without thinking about them. In one case where he was, okay, let's do this, you know, and I said, wait a minute, let me think about it for a minute. No thinking. Let's just get it done. I found out later that he had been praying about it for 2 months before he ever told us. And so, you know, you've got to slow down a little bit sometimes. You know, don't let anybody pressure you into making. If somebody starts putting pressure on you, a salesman or something, I mean, man, I'm telling you what, I back off right then and there. I want to take some time and think and make sure that what I'm doing is the Lord's will. Look at Proverbs in chapter 13. Proverbs in chapter 13. In verse 20, it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, I told you a minute ago that wisdom dictates that we ought to really be cautious in the kinds of people that we get involved with, and especially in things like marriage and romantic relationships and business relationships and things like that. But you know, the opposite is also true. In this verse right here, he says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know what wisdom dictates? That we ought to find some wise people to walk with. Hey, if the same is true, that you get influenced negatively by those people that you hang around, you know, you hang around with people that are complaining all the time, you're going to find out you're going to start complaining all the time. They have a bad attitude, their bad attitude is going to rub off on you. By the same token, if you start hanging around with people that have a good attitude, people that have a healthy outlook on life and a healthy respect and relationship for the Lord, wouldn't the same hold true that that's going to rub off on you? You know what wise men do? Wise men expend a lot of time and energy in learning to be wise. When you look in the book, you'll find out that that wise men, they feed off of wisdom. You know, the Bible says, rebuke a wise man and he'll love you for it and he's going to be more wise. You find out that's the case. When Jesus Christ was born, there were some noblemen that came way out from a far country in the east, and they took a long journey just to be where the baby Jesus Christ was going to be born. You know, and they wanted to be there. They expended a lot of time. They had done their research, man. They knew about the star. They knew about the prophecies. They knew what this child meant. They knew what he was going to become. And they just had to be there to worship him after he was born. And so they came from a long way to be there. Herod, who was right next door to where Jesus was born, the only thing he wanted to do was kill all the children because he was jealous that his kingdom might be taken away. Now, what kind of man would you like to hang out with? You want to hang out with the Herods? Or do you want to hang out with those noblemen that came from the east? Let me tell you what it's going to do for you if you decide that you're going to walk with wise men. I'll tell you what it's done for me. Number one, it saved me a lot of time. Because there's several ways to get wisdom. One way is to be taught wisdom and to apply it in your life. The other way is to have to learn wisdom the hard way. And unfortunately, many of us learn wisdom the hard way. You know what the hard way is? The hard way is you go out and you mess up your life, and then you realize, oh man, I messed up my life. Now I've got to get it back on track. That's the hard way. And a lot of times the way we portray it is that you can't learn anything unless you learn it the hard way. You know, it's almost like we give this idea that the only way you can really learn is through bad experience. But you know something? That's not true. Amen. Wise men have saved me a lot of time. Wise men have saved me from incredible, incredible destruction. You know why? Because I walked with them, I was able to take benefit from their wisdom. That's why there in Proverbs chapter 1, you know what it tells a young man to do? It tells, look back there at chapter 1. And I know Sunday school, all the whippersnappers are gone, so I'm talking to all the parents, so it's kind of like I'm preaching to the choir, but you can relate it to your kids when they get in here. He says there in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know, there it is, right in the Bible. You know, listen to your mom and dad. But I remember what it was like. You know, you guys remember. Remember when you were 15 and 16 years old? You know, I remember being 16 years old. I remember I had gotten my hardship license at 15, so I had already been driving a year. I had a full-time job, another part-time job, and was going to school. And I mean, I had all these things. And for all practical purposes, I was a man. You know, I was an adult. At least I thought I was. But I was barely 17 years old. And I remember thinking, you know, the worst thing in the world that could happen to me is that I could become my parents, you know? Old and stodgy and you know, no fun and all that kind of stuff. And they just didn't know what was going on, you know? And I was smart because I smoked marijuana and they didn't, you know? But if they just did, they'd know. And at that time, I'm thinking, you know, how cool would it be able to smoke a joint with your parents, you know? That's foolishness. Because then if I would have really thought about it, so if my dad were the type to sit down and smoke, he probably wouldn't have a job, and then I wouldn't have any shirt on my back, and then we'd be living in a housing project somewhere. You know, you don't think about those things when you're young. That's why it says, you know, listen. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't, if you realize that you don't have any wisdom, get around and listen to some people who do. If you're young, spend some time talking with people that have gray hair. Oh, I'm telling you something. You're going to learn a lot. Sit down with some people that are older. Now, I know the generation's passing away and there's not a lot of people left that have lived through the Depression, but if you can find one, if you got to pay him by the hour to sit down and talk to you, it's worth the money. Pay him by the hour and listen to their experiences, because one of the things we find is that wise, gray hair, not all the time, there's a lot of gray-headed fools out there that never learned, but age does bring wisdom because of experience. So I'd say get to walking with some. You know, one of the reasons why we don't divide up and have all different types of groups here is because we want the benefit of the ages. You know, we want little kids sitting next to old people because we want that dynamic. We want them to be able to learn. Look at Ecclesiastes in chapter 10 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 10:1. I was having a good time sharing this one with my kids the other day and trying to explain it. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You know what it tells you? It tells you, of course, that the ointment of the apothecary, you know, that was the apothecary. I mispronounced that word. That's like an old-time pharmacist, and they used to mix up these salves and these ointments. You know, a lot of herbal remedies back then. And but there were no preservatives or anything, so they went bad very easily. You know, they spoiled. If you know anything about vitamins, you know you got to keep vitamins in a cool, dark place, because vitamins do spoil and they'll lose their potency if you just leave them out. And so, you know, they protected these things, but you get a couple of dead flies in it with all that bacteria and all that destruction, man, it ruins the whole thing, and it makes that whole bottle of ointment to stink. And he says, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. And you wouldn't think that something like this should be fair. And it doesn't sound fair that someone who has taken so much time to maybe build something, to have it destroyed so quickly with just a little bit of folly. But you know, that's exactly what it says here. And we find that that's true. It happens many times. You find that in cases of pastors, some of these big churches recently have been rocked with scandals. You know, they've spent years building their ministry and doing this. And then they put a little bit of folly into their lives. And how many people are going to respect them anymore after that? One of the things that I've realized is you know, that once you tarnish a name, it is an incredible amount of work to rebuild that name. Now, thank God names can be rebuilt. Otherwise, many of us, we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't have any hope. Names can be rebuilt. Reputations can be restored. They can be rebuilt. You know, trust can be brought back. It's happened many times. Some of your marriages in here have been right to the brink and have been brought back and restored, and I thank God for that. You know, overcoming sin, there's many of us in here who've overcome grave sin, and we've been able to rebuild and to be able to go on. But you know, just the effort in having to do that ought to be a warning to each and every one of us. If wisdom talks to us, it ought to tell us we ought to be careful even of a little bit of folly. One or two little words spoken offhand. You know, I've been witnessing to one of my clients for a long time. And just this week, you know, in the middle of a bunch of people around talking and joking, I just joked with a few words that, you know, to any lost person would have been nothing. But for me, they were inappropriate. And I noticed it because the client just kind of looked at me and just kind of did one of these little quick frowns, you know. And I thought, good grief. Just a few words, you know. And here I am trying to witness to her. And you don't think, man, it's not fair. But, you know, there's a rule. And one of the things they used to teach us when they were teaching me to be a driver for dignitaries. I did 6 months doing that. And we drove for dignitaries and for high-ranking officials and stuff. And when they told us about how to protect the people that you're transporting, one of the things they said was, it is a whole lot easier to stay out of trouble than to get into trouble. I mean, to get out of trouble once you're in it. And so one of the keys is, stay out of trouble. You know, don't get into it in the first place. And it's true, you know. It doesn't take long when you're driving around, if you're going to fill up with somebody in the back seat sitting there, it doesn't take long to drive once or twice around the gas station to find out who's there and to kind of get your surroundings before you actually pull in and get your gas. It doesn't take a lot of time, and it might help. You know, a lot of times we walk into things or we do things, and then we've got to try to get out of it. Some of you have probably seen these signs that are posted up on these telephone poles. And it's called credit repair, you know. They promise to repair your credit. For those of you that have had bankruptcies and credit card delinquencies and all kinds of stuff like that, they promise to repair your credit. You know, I'm telling you, it's a lie. You know, the only thing that's going to repair your credit, if your credit is trashed, is hard work and time. You know, that's all. Hard work and time. You start paying your bills on time. You take care of your debts. You begin to crawl out of the hole. You begin to rebuild. You try to work hard. You do what you can. And you begin to rebuild your name. You know, the better thing is not to get it into the first place. You know what I hope that we learn from wisdom, from the wisdom that God gives, is how not to get into some situations in the first place. And that's one of the things that cautiousness will tell you. If somebody's not cautious and they just make friends with anybody, then they're going to get into trouble with them, and then it's going to be hard to get out. You know, but cautiousness will keep you from getting into trouble in the first place. Be aware spiritually of what's going on around you. I'm telling you. Keep your eyes open, because the devil, he wants your reputation destroyed. He wants you out of the race. He doesn't want you serving the Lord. He wants you to act more like a fool than he wants you to act like a wise man. And I wish I could say that one deed didn't ruin a whole lot of good, but it happens all the time. Look in the chapter right before, in chapter 9 and verse 18. It said, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. You can see that as heads of state. You know, you get some nation where one person that's the leader of that nation begins running off his mouth and doing all sorts of things. You look at some of these leaders, the leader of Iran and the leader of North Korea. You know, I won't mention any names, but you know who they are. There's only one. And what are they doing to their people? What in the world are they doing putting their people through incredible suffering just because they want to run their mouths and want to posture and want to threaten and want to do other things? Yeah, it's true. One sinner destroyeth much good. But you know, the opposite of that is also true. You look at the incredible good that's done by wisdom. You know, I don't want to be known as one person who destroys. Some people are known for that. They have that reputation. Everything they do, they destroy. Everything they do, they have a bitter attitude about. Everything they do, they cut down. You know what I want to be used for? I want to be used to actually build people up. You know, I want to be actually used to turn this tide. All of humanity right now is bent on destroying one another. I'd like to have a part in maybe helping somebody out and building somebody up and imparting some good. I'd like to be able to use my wisdom for something positive. You know how you make your mark in this world? You live godly in this present world, and you try to influence other people to godliness. You're going to do more for humanity than you ever would by becoming a politician or by trying to become the leader of some social reform group, just simply by applying wisdom. It's an amazing thing. So one of the things that wisdom teaches us is, instead of trying to figure out how you're going to get out of trouble, look ahead. Be cautious. Stay out of trouble before it ever finds you in the first place. And then look at Proverbs in chapter 11. There's another thing I've got on my list here that wisdom teaches us, that this one, I guarantee this one here isn't done in a day by any means. Proverbs in chapter 11 and verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Look at that. A man of understanding holdeth his peace. Look at Proverbs in chapter 20 in verse 3. Proverbs 23, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. You know, I'm telling you, this brings the idea that wisdom teaches us, and that's that wisdom teaches us that a man of wisdom is going to learn how to control his impulses. And I think mostly in terms of this, you know, because I'm a man, I'm sure, you know, women also have, you know, their impulses and their temptations, so I'm hoping that this can apply both ways. But I think, you know, several of the big things that happen when it comes to men is in the areas of anger and just the areas of speech. You know, it's incredulous how many people get hurt when they don't have to get hurt. When they get into fights because they don't have to get into fights. I remember one time at a gas station, I mean, I could have very well died the anger of this guy because things happened and I ended up knocking off his hat. And then I made him mad because I reached down and picked up his hat. I touched his hat, man. I picked up his hat and gave it back to him. So number one, I knocked off his hat. And number two, I touched his hat, you know. And that was a big no-no. And he started going on and on. There's only one person going to touch my hat. And I'm, good grief, come on, man. It's just a hat. And of course, that made him blow up all that much more. And he was getting outrageously angry. Well, you know, his anger made me angry. And I think, man, you stupid idiot. I mean, thinking this in my mind, I'm not saying it out loud, because he was bigger than me. But I'm thinking, you stupid idiot, you're getting all bent out of shape over a hat. You know, you're ready to fight me right here in the parking lot of a gas station over a hat, you know? But that was his little line of honor, you know? That was his deal, you know? And if I was as much of a fool as him, I said, well, you know what? If you're manny, you want this hat, you go get your hat. You know, I would have provoked the situation and I would have got into it with him. And then we would have fought. One of us would have won. One of us would have lost. One of us would have been bruised. Eventually, if the police hadn't been called, we would have both driven away. And then what would we have gained for it, you know? What was defended? What righteous cause was extended because of that altercation? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But you know what a fool does? A fool doesn't only meddle in strife. He meddles in strife that doesn't even belong to him. I mean, people get in and they just see something going on and they just want to jump right in there, you know, and get some shots in. I'm telling you something. You see it all the time on the freeways. You know, the freeways are a dangerous place. I mean, all the dangerous drivers aren't in California. A lot of them have moved out here. And we have one of the biggest problems with road rage, and some of you are guilty of road rage. Some of you are guilty of the very things that we profess that we don't get involved in. Because you get mad out there on a road rage. Everybody's trying to get to where they're going and frustrated and people cutting each other off and wanting to be in front and doing all these things. And there are grown men that are willing to risk their lives to be 50 feet in front of the other grown man. And they're willing to pull off the side of the road and shoot each other. For what? What is it that they've defended? What righteous cause has been defended because of that? But not only that, the women are getting involved in the same thing. You know, my wife is driving along and everything's just, I mean, I'm driving along, my wife's in the side, everything's going just fine, you know, and this guy, he doesn't even see where I'm at, he just blindly comes on over, you know, and pulls over, and I honk my horn, you know, even though he's already over, I'm not warning him, I'm actually, you know, replying to him, and so I'm honking my horn, she says, you need to just back off. And I says, well, honey, you need to just be quiet, is what I told her. And of course, at the same time, I'm trying to back off and trying to say, grrr. I wanted to pull up, and all I wanted, I just want to look at him, honey. That's all I want to do. I don't want to do anything more than that. And so we drive along for a few minutes, and we're getting ready to get off on Ingram. And this lady decides she wants to get on Ingram worse, and she almost puts us into the guardrail in this little sports car. And the top is down. She's got blonde hair, but that didn't have anything to do with it. And she drives. And then she extends one finger. You guess which one. And she flips me off. And you know what my wife says? Catch up to her. Hang her by her toenails, you know. Oh, and an amazing thing. You know how you can tell a fool? You can tell a fool because he doesn't know how to control himself. A wise man is going to learn self-control. And it's a battle that'll take us until the day of our death. But you know, the Bible does teach you how to keep the flesh under control. So the truth is yes, it's possible you can control your anger. You can control the words that come out of your mouth. You can control what you say. You can control what you do. I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. You're going to have to learn one thing that wisdom is going to teach you, and that's humility. It's something that the world doesn't know anything about. One of the reasons why the world is destroying each other's lives and destroying their own lives and driving themselves right into the pits of hell is because they don't have any wisdom. They don't have any self-control. They're fools is what they are, and they just blindly go on and are driven by their own emotions. And so that's why so many people get caught up in lust and anger and things. That's why we have an epidemic of men cheating on their wives and wives running around on their husbands. And we have an epidemic of pornography, and we have an epidemic of all kinds of sexual deviant sin. We have pedophilia and all that. Why? Because people aren't willing to control themselves, and then society provokes it and continues it by saying, you know, this is just an alternate lifestyle. This is good. This is in our genes. This is the way God made us. Well, I'm telling you something. All that isn't the way God made us. God made us to say no to ourselves sometimes. But it's going to take some humility. I see these little kids. They have no humility. They're walking down the street. And if you make eye contact with one of these gang kids, you know what he's going to do? He's going to start a fight with you. Why? Because you dissed him. You know, hey man, you diss me. A kid told me that the other day. Man, you dissing me. And I finally looked it up on the internet, and I figured out what it was, what he was telling me. And it's a slang term for disrespect. You know, I was disrespecting him because I looked at him in the eyes, you know. Oh, it's an amazing thing. You walk with pride. But good grief, we're just barely through one or two of the things on my list here. One verse, and then we better close because it's already 11. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Jeremiah 9:23. This is probably a good place to close. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory... Jeremiah 9:23, right. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Why? Because all these things can be taken away. The wisdom of this world can go. You guys know as you get older, your strength doesn't stay the same as when it was young. You start falling apart. You start getting old. Your body goes. And then your mind goes. And then finally you go. And it's done. But there's one thing that stays forever. And what's that? That's exactly right. Verse 14. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which executeth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in all these things I delight, saying the Lord. And in a closing statement for this lesson, I'd like to say, it doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter how strong you are, how well respected you are, how rich you are, how affluent you are, how wise you think you are. If you don't have Jesus Christ and you die without God, without Jesus Christ, you are the greatest fool this world has ever seen. Be wise. Surrender yourself to Jesus Christ.